Welcome to another edition of Shattering Myths. I'm Larry. I'm setting in for Yada, who's currently out of the continental United States. And Scott will be doing the he'll be co-hosting the show. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good. How have things been for you? Long time no talk.
Yeah, well, it's all been good. I have a lot of friends that are pro-Israel, and a lot
imagine
of them are
that.
Jewish. Yeah, and yeah, imagine that. And you know, they seem to get excited when say BB comes over here and he speaks to the Congress, or you know, things like that. And I always wonder why people get so excited over these things that really aren't going to have much of an effect, according to Yahweh, who is the creator of the universe and doesn't live within the confines of time as we know it. And he's already told the people in Israel and told us, you know, through the prophets, that Israel's going to have a real rough time, right up to the end, right up to where he returns. I have a hard time getting excited and you know, being a cheerleader in the background when I know that all these things that are going on today are going to have really no positive effect. Have you ever felt that way when you hear people say, oh, this is good, that's good? You know, it doesn't look too good to me from where I sit.
Yeah,
prophecy.
It's if you look too far into it, yeah. I mean, you could get a little bit down on things. I know that he said that you know, it will go through. Israel will be a rough time. I too am pro Israel. Again, shocker, I'm sure. If they're going to go through a hard time, I still don't want it to be super bad all the time. I don't want to see them go through a really hard time for an extremely long period of time.
And well, I know he does limit that time. It's 7 years. I mean, but it's a pretty rough road headed right up to it. I mean, the world's going to become more and more anti-Semitic as we go along, you know, as I look.
And they're starting to. They're already starting to.
Oh, yeah, all over Europe, even in the United States, you have the Zionists are getting them. You know, one of the great myths out there that really, really kind of blows my mind is that people go on about the Jews are getting them. You know, I've never had any Jew that I'm aware of do anything negative to me ever.
Yeah.
There aren't that many out there. They make up less than 0.2% of the world's population.
Somewhere along the way, they became the boogeyman. Yeah, they'll get you, and it's never been the case. I'm in the same boat as you.
Two-tenths of 1% of the world's population, and they think they're controlling everything. I would like to know what Jews put Obama in office, as an example. I mean, that's brilliant. Put a guy up that's, you know, anti-Israel and anti-Jewish right to his core.
Yeah, and friends with your enemy. Yeah, you know, hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Get him in there.
A lot of myths out there. One of the great myths is that we supply Israel with all this weaponry. Well, you know, for every arm that we sell Israel, we sell 25 to Israel's enemies. So, you know, that doesn't stack up real well.
Well,
if you're really supposedly a friend of Israel.
Everybody around them is using our weapons. So
Yeah. There's a lot more of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to read this from Zechariah. This is out of the DSS, Dead Sea Scrolls. And what it says is, "It shall come to exist in the whole land prophetically, declares Yahweh. Two-thirds shall be cut off and die. One-third will be spared." So when I see all this good news and there's great things happening, what I do know is that in the battle of Armageddon, the entire world is going to attack Israel. two-thirds are going to die over this seven-year period of time. He says, I'll return to this one-third. In the fire, I'll refine them as one refines silver and gold and test them as one does gold. They will summon my personal and proper name, and I will answer them. And I will say, you are my family, and they will say, Yahweh is our Elohim. And that's Zechariah, which means remember, Yah, 13:9. So it's hard for me to get excited, you know, as I'm sitting here in the year 2015 on our pagan calendars, counting down to something that's going to happen in less than 20 years, and know that two-thirds of the people in the land will already be dead. It's hard to get excited about that, because that paints a pretty ugly picture to me. And there's a way that Yahweh really kind of kicks it off. You know, everybody's saying, well, there's going to be wars, and there's going to be rumors of wars. Basically, what they're doing is looking at Matanyahu. And that, you know, there's seven signs he talks about. One of them is even a tsunamis and earthquakes, you know, which we're seeing more and more of.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
On the bright side, it has to happen. It has to. It's going to happen. There's nothing that you can do about it.
Yeah, there will be a bright side, a victory in the end, but coming up to it, there's not a lot of bright side to it.
It has to happen, though. It's going to happen. There's nothing anybody can do. Like you said, there's nothing anybody can do.
That's right.
But at the very end of it all, when it's all said and done, good things happen.
Okay, well, that's true, but I just don't think that it's, you know, I don't have any hope for the world.
Nor should you. Again, there's nothing anybody can do at this point in time to change it. It's been told to us and through the scriptures that this will happen. It's in the Torah. This will happen. He said, I'll never be wrong. You'll never find
a prophet. Never has been yet.
Never has been yet, and he never will be.
No, he won't be, because he lives outside the confines of time, and he's not controlling it. What he's doing is man's free will.
And I was going to say the other thing is
more choices. You know,
the other thing is that he has absolutely no reason to lie. He has no reason to lie.
The very reason for prophecy is to prove his words out.
Yeah, me and Kirk talked about it on Monday and Tuesday that he was happy with just Adam. He doesn't care if there's only one person there at the end. If it's him and one other person, he's happy. That's what he had in the beginning. That's what he liked. He created Chawa for Adam to have somebody else. So, I mean, he's not going to lie. He has no reason to lie.
Nope, he doesn't. And he opens up when he starts it. He starts out with this prophetic proclamation. And this is kind of how he kicks off, you know, the end rolling towards us at breakneck speed, really. And he says, a prophetic pronouncement regarding Damascus. Behold, Damascus is revolting and corrupt and will be removed from among inhabited cities, and she shall actually become a twisted, tangled heap of rubble. That's in Yashaya, which is Isaiah 17:1. Now, that's how he kind of kicks it off. And when we look at the news today, that's what we see. And we also see a world, and I don't think 40 years ago you could have told anybody that within 15 years you're going to have a one-world government, but we see it headed that way. One of Obama's czars just came out the other day and said we need a one-world government to oversee the world and to limit populations.
Well, Obama has to have something to do after he gets out of office, right?
Maybe so, but I'm just saying that you know, we see it. I see it. I see power consolidation all over the place.
Well, just look at the arrogance You know, it speaks about the arrogance in there of a nation with whirling birds in the sky, or it's something like that. Because Craig talks to me about it all the time.
Oh yeah, I'll read it. I'll read that. I'll come right to it. Yeah. Yeah, he says, woe to them, really. He says, woe to the land of whirling and buzzing wings, which is from a region beyond the direction of the rivers of Cush. And the rivers of Cush were as far south as they knew. It was right there on the west coast of Africa. And if you go beyond that, you're going across the Atlantic Ocean and you draw a straight line into the United States.
Yeah, we're going to be a huge contributor into this, or not we, I mean the United States.
No, the government.
The United States is going to be a huge contributor into this.
Yeah, and we'll prove that out too, because he says next, he says, abandoned and forsaken will be the inhabited regions of Aurora. And basically that's the outcast. That's a reference to the Palestinian refugees of the Amman Valley in Amman.
Well, it's also, it's playing out. There's 47 people that stood up and said that if you do any deal with Iran, it's not going to last. 47 people decided to stand up and side with Israel, basically saying no deal with Iran can stand. We're siding with Israel. That's 47 out of how many? In the Congress, so we're our government slowly taking, and again, our government R is used very loosely, because I live here. That's all I can say. They're slowly taking steps away from to distance themselves from Israel.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, you know, what they say publicly and what they do privately is two different things, too. When they sit there and say, oh, we're a great friend to Israel, which I've heard Obama say, and you're funding Israel's enemies at the rate of 25-1 in opposition to Israel, you're not really much of a friend, are you?
No, not at all.
This is Larry. I'm back on Shattering Myths, and I'm going to continue here with Yashaya 17:2 out of the Dead Sea Scrolls, where he says, abandoned and forsaken will be the inhabited regions of Aurora, which basically with that and my pronunciations aren't that good, but I do know what it means, and it's a reference to your Palestinian refugees in the Arnon Valley of Amman, which is a reference to Jordan. And basically, what it says is that there will be roaming animals fighting in militant militias who are dispossessed. And when they run out of people to terrorize, it says, because then there will be no one left to terrorize. And what it's really telling us there is that all these weapons and all these groups that we've funded for years and years, and again, I hate to say we, I should say that the arms dealers of the world, that'd probably be a better way to put it, wouldn't it, are funding. These people have created armies and they've sold them weapons, and they're at a situation here where they basically run out of people to fight. And what they do then is they all get together and decide to attack Israel. And that sounds about right, doesn't it? I mean, you know, when you got armies and they're running around with weapons and they have nobody left to fight, they got to dream up somebody to fight, don't they? Who would be better than Israel? I mean, if you're an Islamic army, can you think of one better?
No, that's been their enemy since there was first a Muslim. Like Muslim number one said, I don't like the Israelis. I don't like Israel. Like the very first Muslim.
Well, I'm gonna read that whole thing, and this is Yashaya, and it's 17:1-3. Here's what it says: this prophetic pronouncement regarding Damascus. Behold, Damascus is revolting and corrupt, and will be removed from among inhabited cities. It is degenerate and and unrestrained, and shall be abolished, and she shall totally actually become a twisted and tangled heap of rubble. Abandoned and forsaken, estranged, deserted, destroyed, and damned will be the inhabited regions and populated cities of Aurora. The outcasts in Jordan, and it's actually written Yarden, but that's Jordan, and Lebanon, for there will be roaming animals fighting in militant militias, failing miserably. But then there will be no one left to terrorize, so the fortified place and defensive structure will cease to exist on account of the northern kingdom, Ephraim, along with the government out of Damascus, including the remnant of Syria and Assyria, similarly vehement and burdensome, fanatical and onerous, dim-witted and enraged, the children of Yisrael, those individuals who engage and endure with God, shall actually continue to exist prophetically, declares Yahweh, of the vast array of spiritual messengers and envoys. They will continue to exist, but it's going to be very rough because they're going to be surrounded by militias that have no one left to fight other than Yisrael. And that's what they're going to do. And it will actually come to pass, it says, in that day, that the size of Yaakov, and that's Israel again, shall be decreased to the point of no longer being sustainable or viable, and the fattest and best protected and most important place of her body shall be leaned. Okay, so that's exactly what the peace plan that the U.S. wrote up. That's exactly what it was. That was the roadmap to peace. You know, the roadmap to peace was that Israel would have to give up the West Bank. That would be the highland. That's exactly what started World War II with Hitler. And that's exactly what will start World War III. The United States basically forcing Israel to give up more land. I'm Larry, and Scott's co-hosting, and I'm going to go right back to this. You know, the so-called roadmap to peace is the same plan that the Iraq Study Group proposed to resolve the Sunni uprising against the Shia overlords. And basically, America had empowered the Sunnis after deposing Saddam Hussein, or excuse me, the Shias, really, because it put that whole area into tumult, and the majority of Iraqi people are really Shias, and it kind of put them under the auspices of Iran rather than Iraq. And basically the concession being offered by the United States, you know, when it seeks to calm your Islamic jihadists returning from terrorizing civilians during the Syrian war between these same two warring factions, when implemented, Israel at her waist will be less than 20 miles across. 70% of Israel's wealth and population reside in the West Bank. And the nation will become vulnerable. And it'll just become weak, and you know, there's no question the Islamic armies will take advantage of that. And that's what's going to cause what's called the Magog War. And at that time, and it isn't just Israel that's going to have a problem. This is going to be worldwide. It appears to go nuclear. At that time, one out of every four inhabitants on the planet are going to die. If we're to believe Yahweh's words,
I think you run a pretty good. You should probably believe those. We talked about that in the first segment. He has no reason to lie, and he has never lied yet. So,
yeah, and that's right after he talks about Israel being thinned at the waist, he talks about the country that did it. Well, that's where he says, "Woe to the land of whirling, buzzing wings," which is from the region west, beyond the furthest place west we know, in the direction of the rivers of Kush. You know, America's pretty well known for these whirling and buzzing wings. They're called helicopters.
Oh, yeah. It's the most fearsome thing that we have.
Yeah, you know, you got the Apache, the Black Hawk.
Yep.
You know,
and also think about the words that are coming out of our higher ups in the government. They're very adamant about Palestine deserves their own state. Yeah, all these things they're already in the motions to do exactly what they're in the motions to set things in motion of what they're supposed to do. They're idiots.
Oh, they are that. They're absolutely. Everybody has a tendency to think they're stupid. Where I have a tendency to believe that they're just evil. You know, I don't think that they're. I don't think this is an accident. I think they have experts that tell them pretty much, if you do this, this will happen, and if you do that, that'll happen, and they go ahead and they do it. And I think they do it out of good reason. I think that that's what they intend to do. You know, they intend to have a problem.
I think they are idiots. That's an insult to idiots to call them idiots. I think they're, again, they don't call out Muslims because it would ruin. All of a sudden, they would be dubbed as anti-Islamic and all these things, or, you know, Islamophobes and things like that. And they shy away from these because then people might not vote for them. You know, because now it's you got to accept everybody at all times, you know.
Well, I mean, that's political correctness. That's the moral replacement code that they use to basically shut down any rational discussion because, you know, if you start saying anything negative about any particular group, whether it's true or not, you really have to keep it to yourself. So, therefore, you limit the discussion and you end the rational thought process right there.
Yeah, it's.
But that's intentional. They sterilize the conversation, I believe, completely intentional. I don't believe they're stupid. I think they're evil. Two different things. I mean, I think they go after creating armies so they can sell them weapons. Who gets hurt in the process? You know, they're not really caring about that. They don't think about that.
Well, it's got to be our primary export now. Weapons. Has to be.
It has to be. You know, it wasn't just it was a few months back, just before the election. I do recall that the Congress, and of course every good patriot was behind them because it was a Republican Congress doing it. And truth is, it doesn't matter. They decided to fund Syrian rebels. Do you remember that? $500 million, $500 million worth.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, that's just a tip. That's just one deal out of many dozens. But let's just that one deal. Now, who were the Syrian rebels? Weren't they the people that went into Syria, and weren't they grabbing Christians and Shias and anybody who wasn't a Sunni?
Yep.
And they were raping the women, selling them, murdering, cutting people's heads off, and so forth. These are these moderates that we're funding.
But John McClane, or John McClane.
Yeah, I know.
You know who I'm talking about.
McClown.
Yeah, McClown.
Better known as McCain.
McCain. He told me that they were good guys. He went over there. Yeah. They had videos of them.
Yeah.
They were just good guys, yeah. Like you and me.
Just lovely. Yeah. Yeah, except when they came into an area, if you weren't one of them, you know, they lined you up and they whacked your heads off. Christians, they went right after the Christians, I do recall.
Oh yeah.
What I don't understand is how we can sit in a nation of basically predominantly Christians and they fund to go kill other Christians overseas. Why?
Because we're so accepting and we're politically correct.
Wow. But it goes on. It describes this country that's west of the furthest point west they knew in Africa, the River Kush. And it says it dispatches envoys by way of the sea.
That's us. And again, it's by far. Every other country in the world has realized that navies really don't do much.
Right. And so in floating vessels on the surface of the waters, the messengers travel swiftly, indulgently, and immorally. The nation of people from different races and places, in other words, they're Goyim, is tall, intoxicated, immodest, and they have a propensity to take things away from others.
Well, think about that. They go even farther on that. From different races and places. What's one of the things that everybody talks about? America's a melting pot. People come from all over the world where they come to this country to live here. Immoral. They take things that don't belong to them. There's no country that takes more than us. Even break it down even farther. If you get into just the people themselves, you're now at a point where people are talking about things like wealth redistribution. You know, that's stealing. You're going to take something from somebody that you didn't earn, and you're just going to take it because you think you should have it.
Yeah, they're parasites. But then again, Yahweh talks about the last generation just being leeches, just being parasitic. You know, one of the things Yahweh tells us not to do is ingest the words of the Christians. He tells us that. He tells us not to do it. And I know he says the wild boar, but then he says don't read any of their published material and you know, don't consume their words. Well, you know, wild boar is pretty good way to put it. And, you know, there's a reason that that's a pretty good way to put it. It's because, you know, it was said that the wild boar killed the son of the sun, Tammuz, who was born on, you know, the winter solstice, our Christmas today. And he was killed when he was 40 years old. That's where Lent comes from, for 40 days prior to, you know, the celebration of the inception of the sun impregnating the earth on what's called Easter today in Ishtar then, the people would, you know, deprive themselves of something once a day for that 40 days. That's where Lent comes from. So when he's telling us not to ingest the wild boar or any of her published materials, well, you know, wild boars, if that's what we're really truly looking at, they don't publish anything. But the wild boar does represent Christianity and its two most important religious holidays, right? Easter and Christmas.
Easter and Christmas.
One thing about pork is that it's full of what? It's full of parasites, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, they don't eat very good. They eat whatever.
Well, they're full of garbage, but they're also full of, if it's not cooked right, stored right, cured right, whatever, they're full of parasites because a pig can't sweat. And if you really look at the most parasitic societies, I mean, where people just want to live off other people, I mean, they're primarily Christian denominations. You know, let's take care of our poor and our homeless. Well, they're not our poor and our homeless because they're not my kids.
Not mine. They're none of mine. They're not my friends.
Not to go to work. I don't think that a person who decides not to work and not to get out there with the rest of us and not to go out and do all the things that we need to do in order to put a roof over our head, I don't think they're entitled to the same thing as somebody who does all those things. I mean, there's plenty of times I remember I was working, I was studying, I was doing all kinds of different things where everybody else was out partying.
Yeah, I'm not wealthy by any stretch of the means, but I still come to work every day. I don't ask for handouts, and I earn everything that I have. I don't want anything from anybody. I want to earn my own.
Okay, so we're back to this place now. we're this parasitic land, really. He says, this nation from different races and places, this goyim, is tall, intoxicated, immodest. They have a propensity to take things from others. They are scrubbed clean. They're smooth, skinned, and completely shaven, yet typically they are reckless. These people are feared from here to there and beyond in a future time. And in this future time that Yahweh is talking about is now. The population, which is comprised of many different races, routinely vomits up and spews out nonsense in a strange foreign language, taking down others, mocking them, while continually marching off to war based on condescending and moronic rhetoric. Always trying to impose its influence, establish the rules, while eagerly expecting to throw others out of their own land. It aggressively subdues, trampling down, and kicking them out. This country is divided by rivers. So he's described a country west of Africa that seems intent on ruling the world and subverting everyone else and dragging them along in their wars. And, I mean, that's the United States.
This sounds oddly familiar. It seems really accurate, too.
It even forces Israel to give up land in the end, which is exactly the, that's the roadmap to peace. That's what we're told.
Was this written 40 years ago? Was this written 40 years ago?
No.
Oh, that's really accurate then.
This was written about 500 BCE, I would guess. Yeah. I think that's when you...
That's pretty accurate.
And it's this last generation that's going to lead to World War III. So, I can't think of anybody else that's, known for... appears to be helicopters. Right. I mean, you think about Vietnam and Mogadishu.
Let me ask you this.
Afghanistan.
Let me ask you this quick.
Sure.
Did anybody during that time when this was written, did anybody even know about anything over here?
No, they certainly didn't know about this giant navy full of, helicopters.
They didn't know about a whirling bird. They didn't know about a land divided by rivers.
Like, no.
It's stuff like that, that when you hear stuff like that, it's like, okay, this might... You should probably look into this a little bit.
Your ears might perk up. Nobody has more rivers than the United States, and no land is more divided. I grew up in a town in southeast Iowa called Keokuk. I could be in three different states within 10 minutes. You know what I had to do?
Cross a river.
Cross two rivers.
Yep.
Yeah. One river went to Illinois, that's the Mississippi that divided right there, and the other one went to Missouri, and that's the Des Moines.
Yep.
Those were the dividing lines of the state, two rivers right there, and there's plenty of places like that. And then when you get into marching off to war, the U.S. has had 101 of them. And typically, we leave places, tread underfoot worse than they were before we got there. I mean, just take a look at Afghanistan, take a look at Iraq in recent time, Vietnam,
Korea, everywhere.
Even if you want to look at Serbia, one of the things about the Serbs is that during World War II, there were 28 divisions of crack troop Germans, blitzkrieg troops in there, and these guys, 28 divisions, to give you an idea how much that is. I mean, the whole U.S. Army today has about 8 divisions. Now imagine that many divisions and putting them in a place the size of Serbia. And then they worked with the Muslim Stasis, and between the two, they systematically wiped out the majority of the Serbian people. In fact, Simon Wiesenthal said that no group of people had been harmed beyond the Serbs, not even the Jews, in World War II. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, and even with all that going on, They managed to rescue over 500 American airmen during World War II. We repaid them by bombing them.
We're nice guys.